Welcome to the Deerfield Family Theater Podcast. In this season, we're talking with the cast and production team for Theater D's production of Noises Off. Speaking of Noises Off, in case you're tuning in and didn't already know, Theater D is putting on a performance of Noises Off this April of 2024. Performances start Friday, April 5th, and go through Sunday, April 14th. So while you're listening to this episode, visit theaterd.com and get your tickets. Without further delay, here's the interview. I'm thrilled to have with me on the DFT podcast for upcoming production of Noises Off through Theater D, our very own Lloyd Dallas, Jeff Marr. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Matt. Nice to be here.
Well, for our audience who hasn't seen you perform before, though I understand you have a rich performance history, tell us, who is Jeff Marr?
Well, you're right. I am probably new to the Theater D audience. This is the first show I've ever performed with them, but I have been acting around the Chicago suburbs for about the past 23 or 4 years, since about 2000. I come from the science background, actually. So I work at Pfizer Pharmaceuticals in Lake Forest. So my education is in science and math and chemistry and math. So the theater world, it was a little foreign to me. My brother was in the theater department at Illinois State University, and I always enjoyed going over there and seeing him in his shows. And that, in fact, is where I saw Noises Off for the first time and fell in love with it. And I was able to actually perform in Noises Off in 2001 for the first time, playing Freddy, a different character than I'm playing now. But yeah, I mean, it all started when I was in the lab one day and a work colleague of mine came in and said she was going to be auditioning for a show called Pillow Talk at the local park district. And I was a little intrigued, so I decided to go with her. I auditioned for the show. I got a small part, and from there I was hooked. So it's been no looking back from that point. I've been in about 40 shows since that time, everything from comedy to drama to musicals. It's just been great.
I mean, really something there, and also for the young listeners who maybe they're a little too timid to give it a try in high school and such. Like, how old were you when you went and saw Pillow Talk or went and did that one?
I was in my 30s, so yeah, there's no age limit on it. If you're interested in something like that, seek out a show and give it a try. It's really, I mean, the amount of community and people I've met and friends I've made over the time has been incredible. So I would encourage anybody to audition for a show if something interests them.
And you know, as a performer, are you also doing musicals, or is it just drama and comedy, or like what's your range as a performer?
I've done a couple musicals. I don't have the strongest singing voice, so I've never played a lead or anything like that. But I've done my share. I've been in Stephen Sondheim's Company. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I was in Little Shop of Horrors. I played the plant in that one.
Ooh, that must have been a fun
role. I was
role.
In Brigadoon back in 2017, playing the non-singing comedic sidekick in that. But I guess that counts as a musical. So.
Yeah, I mean, I myself am not like a trained singer, but I've also been in musicals, right? And so it's one of those things where you could pick up singing good enough to be in a musical if you're in other gigs as an actor. Right.
They can relegate me to the back if I get too off key and out of step.
Right. So then, like, what was your background, though, what was it in your youth that gave you like the skills that were adaptable then to performing?
Well, when I was a senior in high school, I auditioned for our musical, The Music Man, and I was cast in that in a small part. I was one of the salesmen at the beginning, and then I was just a random townsperson for the rest of the show. And there was an opportunity to take the lead at one point. So our lead was not working out, and our director came to me and said, "What do you think about taking on this part for yourself?" And at the time, I did not have the confidence to take something on like that. So I turned her down, actually, and the original lead ended up coming back. But that always stuck with me, that she had the confidence in me to ask me that. And maybe she saw something in myself that I didn't see in myself that maybe I could bring to others. So I always thought that. It took 10 or 15 more years before I acted on it. But I think that's kind of like the germ of what gave me the confidence to give this thing a shot in the first place.
there you go. So if you're a teacher out there, you know, when you show your students that they have confidence, you know, that you have confidence in them, even if it takes 20 years, they'll get confidence in themselves too.
I've never forgotten that teacher, Mrs. DeJanes. Yes. Yeah. Shout out to our teachers.
Yeah, seriously. So very cool. So then like what other companies like or theater programs have you performed in since this is your first time doing it for Theater D?
Yeah. So I've worked at various places around the suburbs. I guess my home base is Wheaton Drama. I've done probably 5 or 6 shows there, including One of the Noises Offs back in 2010. But I've also done And Then There Were None. I was a character in that Agatha Christie murder mystery. There was a very fun play called Black Comedy that I did there, which is another farce written by Peter Schaefer. Very funny British farce that I got to participate in. I've also done serious shows. I was in a show called Copenhagen, which is also written by Michael Frayn, who wrote Noises Off. It's a very serious departure for him. It's about the masterminds behind the nuclear bomb. I ended up playing Werner Heisenberg in that show. It's only a 3-person, no-set show with Werner Heisenberg, Niels Bohr, and Niels Bohr's wife, Margrethe, talking about the moral ramifications of building the atomic bomb. So, you know, a lot different than your typical farce and comedic upborings, Neil. So I did that for Vex Theater in Elgin. I've also done, well, I do a lot of British shows, actually. I did a show called Mr. Pym Passes By, which is another British comedy, kind of a comedy of manners that was written in the 1920s. It was actually written by A.A. Milne, who wrote the Winnie the Pooh books. Wow. So he wrote a kind of comedy of misidentification and, you know, the trappings that go along with that and the comedy of errors that goes along with it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so for any listeners who, like, they're not sure what a farce is, so, like, I'll give, like, my, like, rough, like, explanation. And then, Jeff, I'd like to hear from you. Like, you know, it's comedy, but, like, a lot of physical comedy, over-the-top things, sort of preposterous situations that you're laughing at. Like, it's not like stand-up comedy, right? Like, it's, like, a very situational. Like, is that how would you explain a farce?
That's exactly what it is. It's an absurd, broad style of comedy where usually some character on stage doesn't have the complete information that the rest of the characters or the audience has. So there's a mistaken identity, or there's someone around that they can't be near or a part of. And so there's great lengths taken to try and avoid, you know, a consultation. That's why there's like door slamming. There's a lot of people dressing up in costumes and the opposite sex's clothing and things like that. So it's very broad. It's very frothy. It's light. It has kind of an innuendo bent to it as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of kind of sexual, you know, kind of like tee-hee type bits that, you know, right, that happen as well.
And so that brings us to Noises Off. So if that wasn't enough of a sales pitch about Noises Off, like tell us, like, how does that, like, what is Noises Off even about?
Oh, okay. So Noises Off is a British farce written by Michael Frayn. It's about a theater troupe putting on another play called Nothing On. So at the start of Noises Off, you're watching the dress rehearsal of the Nothing On production. So it's a play within a play. So I play the director of that play within a play, Lloyd Dallas. And through the machinations of Act One, you meet the characters. There's stops and starts as various confusions start piling up. You learn the quirks of all the different characters. And then you pivot to Act Two. And that's a couple of weeks later in the run of the show, that within the show, only it's set from backstage. So the set itself is flipped. So the audience that's watching Noises Off is seeing backstage. And there's another audience unseen that is watching the play that you watched being rehearsed in Act One, mm-hmm, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So Act Two is a magic trick. I'll just say it. It's a incredible feat of timing and split second entrances and exits and passing of props and dialogue, etc., just to make sure that this whole thing happens seamlessly. So the cast has their own trials that they are trying to silently take care of backstage while they're putting on the show for the other audience in the front of the stage. And then
it's almost
that
like
makes any sense at all. I know it's really confusing to explain, but
First of all, it kind of sounds like a metaphor for one's own mind, right? What's going on inside your mind.
Trappings within trappings, yes.
Right, and then how you portray yourself to the world, right?
Yeah.
But then on top of that, it sounds to me like it requires multiple viewings. So, you know, our first show is Friday, April 5th, and you have until Sunday, April 14th to
right.
see it again. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is a great excuse of a show that, you know, it's sort of like the movie The Prestige. You know, there's all these twists and turns. You got to watch it again right away so you could, like, see the hints.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Rashomon. There's different perspectives of the same incident.
Right, absolutely. Yes. So multiple viewings. But speaking of just as an audience member going to see this show, like, more than once to get a fuller understanding, this will be your fourth performance in Noises
yeah.
Off. So, like, what about performing in it multiple times? And like why, what makes it so interesting enough that this is a show you'd want to do more than once?
This is my favorite show in the world. I saw it for the first time at Illinois State University when I was in college. And it was just magical to watch just how that unfolds in front of a live audience. And I actually envy anybody who hasn't seen it before. Please see it live. Don't see the movie. The movie has the trappings of film where there's edits and stops and starts and changes and things like that. To watch this thing happen beginning to end is incredible to watch. And I can think that's what's drawn me to it, to performing it these four times, you know, as two different characters even. It's so much fun. I think the audience will just, first of all, it's incredibly funny. Just the dialogue and the characters and everything are just really funny, and then it just gets elevated by this dance that all the characters have to go through to put on this show.
Let's talk about, because you're performing since like the early 2000s to now. Was that more or less like nonstop? So you had some things that were in the pipeline when the pandemic time hit us all?
Yes. In fact, I was able to, I was on a show called Moonlight and Magnolia at Wheaton Drama, which is about the writing of the Gone with the Wind script. Small cast, lot of fun, based on true events. I played Victor Fleming, who was the director of Gone with the Wind in that show. And that show went up in late 2019. So it was one of the last shows, the winter of 2019. So it was one of the last shows to be performed before everything shut down the following March. So that theater obviously went dark. Everything did. So we're almost 2.5 years, a lot of theater companies, I think, were suffering. And obviously, no shows, there's no income, and obviously, there's no ability to perform. It wasn't safe, so there was a lot of Zoom readings,
right?
over that time, just people getting together, just wanting to keep it going. So some people would pick a play, and we'd assign parts, and we'd just read the play over a Zoom call, which was, you know, a lot of fun, but obviously there's something missing with that. And I have actually not been on stage since that time. So this is the first time back in 4 years so it's just a thrill. This is one of the best things to come back to and kind of dip my toe. I'm familiar with the material. I've mm-hmm. played the character before, even though it was 12 years ago playing this character. So the lines didn't come back right away, but yes. They came back soon enough. And we've been, I'm looking forward to what's next, you know?
I mean, that's so exciting. So back from his COVID hiatus,
yep.
Jeff Marr returning, Noises Off was the thing that brought you back in then.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually almost ready to retire. You know, I thought, well, I've had a good run and, you know, the 4 years is, you know, it's what's the difference of going even a little further? So, but this show is elevated to every, you know, extreme that could bring me back. Plus it's directed by Deb Goldman, who I've worked with before. She's incredible, an incredible production team with Ryan Elliott and Sue Jacobson, and just everyone I've met so far at Theater D has been amazing. So it's just been a welcoming, and the cast for this show is incredible. And I've just had a blast playing with them for the last 2 months now.
And I mean, why retire when you're aging into so many more roles, right? I mean, you know, it's like one of those things where you can only play certain roles when you're young and you can only play certain roles when you're older, right? So think about all the roles that you have opening to you the older you get.
That's very funny because I just saw today there was an audition notice for a show called Charlie's Aunt that I was in. Oh, how long ago was that? 2003 or four. And I played a college age person in that. So I don't think I could play that person today. I'd be more playing that character's dad or somebody of more of the elder cast. But yeah, you're right. There is probably a world of roles that are now open to me at this point. And actually just being in Noises Off over the 20 years, I've sort of aged into the world weariness of Lloyd, of this character that I'm playing now that I didn't even have 14 years ago when I played it. So that's been exciting as well. I think it's more believable and I'm more beleaguered and the sarcasticness really comes through, I think, in this age than it did before.
Yeah. So there you go. You know, you've been rattling off so many shows that you've been in, shows that you've seen, but tell us definitively, Jeff, what have been your favorite shows that you've performed in?
Well, Noises Off is definitely at the top. That black comedy show that I mentioned, the Peter Schaefer show, that was just incredible for just the cast and the director and the crew of that show. That was just a blast to perform in. Copenhagen was a big challenge. Small cast, very technical, heavy dialogue. I told myself if I could memorize that show and perform it believably, then I can do anything because that one was... It's definitely a challenge to get that right and you know, make it believable. Let's see what else is. Company was a lot of fun. My gosh, so many shows over the last 20 years that it's hard to. What else is good? And then There Were None was great. Oh, I was in The Mousetrap twice. That was a lot of fun. Again, Agatha Christie play, British show. My mother's British, so that the accent has come natural to me. I was told I had that accent until I was like 4 or 5 years old when the schools got a hold of me, the Midwestern schools got a hold of me. So I can slip in and out of it. So I've been in a lot of British dialect shows, but the Agatha Christie one was great. That one was fun because I played the murderer in that show. I won't say who that character is, but I played that character and the gasps that you would hear from the audience every night who, you know, weren't familiar with the show. That was just a thrill. To be able to reveal that.
I have a kid in daycare. She's 3, but her best friend in school, her mom was raised in the UK. And so she has a British accent, this little 3-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the best friends with my kid. And so on occasion, my kid will say some things with like a British accent that she picked up from her friend. It's the cutest thing in the world, especially like in the Midwest, little kids with British accents.
Oh, that's adorable. It's adorable. Yeah. Yeah. I know I was the Fruit Newton kid, you know, when I was a child, you know, I had this little lilting British accent that, you know, I learned from my mother. So,
yeah, no, I think it's a useful skill. I mean, clearly you've been able to put it to use over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any accent, I think if anyone's able to master that, it's incredible skill.
So even when you weren't acting, though, were you doing accents? What were you doing that was performance like when we didn't have the outlet of theater?
That's a good question. This is my number one hobby. So it's the thing that kind of keeps driving me forward, like looking at the notices and seeing what shows appeal to me. But what else drives me forward? You know, a lot of...
I don't know. There were 15 years there where you weren't, you know, in between when you were in high school and then when you performed in your...
Yeah,
family.
I mean,
so,
that's...
You know,
right.
Would
that's
you
when
read,
I was more...
read billboards to your family's dismay as you were driving in the car?
I was actually a very quiet person, so I mostly just concentrated on my studies and getting my career started and finding my first job and working up through the corporate climb of the pharmaceutical industry until I kind of found my voice with the theater piece.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, question for you there then, because, you know, while Theater D is like a, you know, like an 18 and up type shows that we put on, you know, mm-hmm. still there's a lot of younger listeners to the podcast. And so tell us like your experience in the theater world, like what have you learned and taken away from those experiences that you've been able to apply in the corporate world?
You know, actually I've learned a lot from theater in the corporate world. First, you know, you learn confidence, you learn to be able to speak your opinion. I think that's an important skill that it's kind of a soft skill that's kind of overlooked in a lot of corporate environments. So I think that's been important. You learn to listen. It's really important to be able to, when you're in a scene with someone, it's not just necessarily what's coming up next in my head that I need to communicate. It's what's this person saying to me that I need to respond to. And I think that's a very important skill to learn when you're working with clients and other things in the corporate world. What else? You learn respect. And I think you learn quite a bit about, I mean, just how to handle yourself, how to carry yourself. So, and especially how to enunciate, you know, when I'm on conference calls all day long, and it's very important to be able to communicate effectively. So I think if you've learned that skill somehow in a separate arena, sure, bring it to your job. You know, this quality culture here at my company, joy is one of the four tenets of the core values. So I think being able to bring joy to people. So I've actually formed a little bit here when we have like holiday celebrations and things like that. I've done monologues. I haven't sung for anybody yet, but people have.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think it's really important to be able to like know yourself and just be comfortable with your own being and just be able to speak up and talk to your own truth. I think that's an important thing to bring forward.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything like with that, your science and math background, that lends itself to theater? Like, do you break down, you know, the lines or the roles like mathematically and deconstruct them to better understand, you know, going into it? Like, is there any,
my nose is off script is right here. I was just looking at it before we recorded. And the way I actually memorize lines is, it's very
unscientific.
Mathematical. It's yes.
Oh no, it is.
I circle letters, common letters, you know, in lines. If someone says a B in the line before me, I look for a B in the next line that I have to say. And that's kind of like my mind trigger to like what I have to say next. So yes, I break things down. Some people say, somebody says three things before I have to say two things. I actually write that in the margin. It's a good way to start. I mean, it gets more natural back to that listening skill. Once I'm able to like put the script aside and actually speak the words as if it's coming from me, then that kind of falls away. But when I'm learning lines, yes, I'm definitely in my head going, he said three things. I have to say two things now. What are those two things? Oh, he said B. Then I have to say something that starts with B. Oh, yes. Here it is. Here's that line. It's a very like slow kind of slogging way to learn things, but that's how I do it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I suppose it's a little pattern based and mathematical based, but yeah, it works for me.
Well, you'll lean into the strengths. I mean, obviously everybody I think these days knows about the story. I don't know. I've never validated it of, you know, Einstein, the mathematician, scientist, also played violin and was very musically inclined, mm-hmm. right? So like between there's bridge between art and science all the time, all, you know, inside.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So now taking off that performer hat, and just, you're just an audience member. You're just like mm-hmm. a theater goer now. Like, what are some of the favorite shows you've been able to just sit back and enjoy?
That's a good question. I do love musicals. So I have enjoyed, I took my niece to see Rent. And that's one of my favorite shows. And it was really great to see her discover that for the first time. I've enjoyed Wicked. What else? I mean, so many shows over the, I actually took a Broadway vacation a few years ago, and I saw Hairspray, and I saw Cabaret with Neil Patrick Harris at Studio 54, at the old Studio 54. That's a theater now. And that was just amazing. So yeah, quite a bit. And I love seeing other people. I'm going to see Wheaton Drama is actually putting on The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. That's actually going up just before Noises Off starts. So I have a weekend to squeak in there to go over and see that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Plug for them.
Well, since, everyone should go see more live theater, right?
I totally agree with that. Yes. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that I know you're a musical theater fan, I have to ask you a question I ask most of our guests on the show. And that is, if you have the option to listen to a soundtrack before seeing a musical for the first time, is that okay? Or should you go see the musical before hearing anything?
I think you should go to the musical before hearing anything, so you don't have any preconceived notions of what you're about to hear. I always look at the song titles to see what, you know, what's coming up. If it's a show I don't know. So it kind of, you kind of like frame the show around it. especially if it's something I'm not as familiar with.
Okay. All right. And then just last chance now, Jeff, put butts in seats and noises off for Theater D. Why should people come see the show?
So as I said before, this show is a magic trick. So I actually envy people who have never seen it before. Just watching this thing unfold in front of you, I think will be a delight to people. If you've seen it before, there are many different things to look at this time. There's 9 characters on stage doing different things that you have a chance to observe and enjoy. I would say just it's a fun, frothy, delightful, funny, hysterical time at the theater. There's nothing earth-shattering going on. It doesn't solve any world problems or anything like that, but it is just so much fun to watch. So I would encourage anybody to come see Noises Off if they have the chance. Just like it enthralled me 30 years ago, just watching it unfold in front of me. And it's kind of defined the way, you know, my theater path has gone since.
All right. I'll just say if that's not enough reason, go right now in the show notes and click the link to purchase tickets or go to theaterd.com and follow the links to purchase tickets. Jeff Marr, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Matt.
And that's our show. Please share this podcast to help support the work of Deerfield Theater. An even better way to support us is to go see Noises Off. Visit theaterd.com to purchase tickets. As always, links are in the show notes. And thanks again to Theater D's board, the production staff, and cast for Noises Off. Please follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your preferred listening app to never miss an episode. Until next time, thanks to everyone who continues to support the arts. We'll see you at the theater.